You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and we're Locked On Khalil Mack. I am your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. And today, we're excited. We're breaking down the blockbuster trade of the NFL season. September 1st, the Chicago Bears acquire Oakland Raiders outside linebacker Khalil Mack. Most people thought it was a little bit of a pipe dream, but Ryan Pace got aggressive, made the move, and secured the franchise pass rusher. We'll break down sort of how the Bears are able to swing this and sort of the implications there. We'll look ahead to the future beyond just this season with what's next for Khalil Mack and the rest of the roster. And then we'll be joined by the host of Locked On Raiders, your boy Q, and he'll break down sort of Khalil Mack's career in Oakland and a little bit of a scouting report on what we can expect from, again, a three-time Pro Bowl outside linebacker now coming to Chicago. So we're bringing you a little bit of an instant reaction podcast here. So at the time of this recording, Saturday afternoon, we don't yet know the exact details of the trade compensation. We know it's at least two first-round picks plus something else, which has not been revealed yet. I'm sure by the time we hit our next Locked On Bears episode, we'll know what that something is, and we can dive a little bit more deeply into that trade compensation. And it's also 53-man roster cutdown day, so we'll get to that too. But clearly, the Khalil Mack news is the big blockbuster trade of the season, and Ryan Pace went out and got his guy. It's a game-changing move for this Chicago Bears defense. And so to start, let's talk about kind of how the Bears were able to pull something like this off. I mean, they are negotiating with Khalil Mack to likely make him the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. You know, Aaron Donald of the Los Angeles Rams just got his big deal. Not quite the same position, but a six-year extension worth $135 million. You're going to be looking at $20-plus million a year for Khalil Mack in Chicago. The Bears have cap space to work with here. They have cash flow to work with. So financially, they'll have room to keep it under the salary cap. And the big reason for that is your quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky. The Bears are very fortunate to be in this sort of window that you see a lot of teams build contenders with. And when you see a lot of these younger teams rise up the ranks and make a surprise Super Bowl run a couple years down the line, it's because their quarterbacks are still on their rookie contracts. Mitchell Trubisky's rookie deal is a four-year, $30 million contract, $29 million to be precise. And obviously they still have, including this season, three more years plus the fifth-year option. In total, you know, he's only going to count $6.5 million this year, $8 million next year, $9 million in 2020. And that's a bargain if your starting quarterback is producing at a high level, which is the expectation for Trubisky. You compare that to other teams. You look at Green Bay that just signed Aaron Rodgers to a massive contract extension. The quarterback position, most of the time, takes up a significant portion of your salary cap. And right now, Mitchell Trubisky, I believe, is the 29th highest paid quarterback in terms of cap hit in 2018. In terms of yearly average salary, I think it's up to 26. But you're seeing the Bears have a lot of cap space elsewhere on the team to build, which is why they can sign Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and Trey Burton and all these free agents at a premium price and re-sign Kyle Fuller to a big deal because they don't have to pay their quarterback. And even in on top of all those moves, they can shell out all this cash to Khalil Mack. Again, we don't know the details yet of the trade or the contract, but you can see how the Bears have so much room available because of their young quarterback. And it's clear that Ryan Pace understands this window to win. That once you hit that what will be 2022 offseason when Mitchell Trubisky becomes a free agent, assuming he develops at the rate at which the Bears hope and he becomes that franchise quarterback, he's going to get paid a lot of money. That quarterbacks that hit the open market get paid, or at least, you know, get at the end of their contract, get paid a ton. And once you hit that part, then you can no longer afford to pay a pass rusher $20 million a year and to pay a wide receiver $12 million a year and, you know, pay top dollar for other players at other positions. So this was kind of the window that Ryan Pace can really go out and be aggressive for players to make his team better. It's not even necessarily a win now move, but it's a win for the next 4 years move while you still have your quarterback at this bargain contract. You can really, this is the time to go all out on the rest of your roster. It's why this Khalil Mack move happened, in my opinion, because you're saving so much money at that position. It's really been sort of the pinnacle of this roster rebuild for Ryan Pace. You know, get the young quarterback and then invest as many of your resources around him as possible. And this was just the next step in the phase, and really one of the more final phases, because as we'll talk about next, the Bears are going to be without a lot of draft picks in the upcoming years here, and it's going to limit their ability to continue to add young impact talent moving forward. So they're all in with a lot of the young guys that they have. But going all in on Khalil Mack here should be a nice boost for the Bears this season, and it could be a great way to kind of take advantage of Vegas maybe underestimating what the Bears have done. I'm looking right now at mybookie.ag, and the over-under for the Bears' wins this season is set at 7.5. And I think most people, especially a lot of Bears fans, are optimistic. You're seeing a big season, a potential playoff push, and not under 500. I mean, that's 7.5. I mean, 8-8 would still be an over here. So if you want to get in on the action, whether it's the over-under or the week one line against the Packers is still Bears +8 if you want to bet against the spread, or the Bears are still +350 to make the playoffs. So you can get in on a lot of different action. If you want to put your money where your mouth is after this Khalil Mack trade, you got to check out MyBookie. If you go on there and use the promo code LOCKEDON when you sign up, MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. So you get double the money to work with here to put down on the Bears, put behind Khalil Mack and everything Ryan Pace has been doing this offseason. It's MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Like I said, we are locked on Khalil Mack today, the newest member of the Chicago Bears. And let's take a look now at sort of how he fits onto this Bears roster and how this will affect them moving forward. Once the long-term deal is locked in, Khalil Mack should be here for a good 4 or 5 years, and the Bears are all in on him as their best defensive player and probably best overall player on the roster. I mean, just in terms of pure talent, this is a absolute game changer at the outside linebacker position. We have talked a lot on this podcast about just how big of a weakness that has been this preseason with, you know, Leonard Floyd and the hand injury, Aaron Lynch not participating at all, and Sam Acho kind of being your other starting outside linebacker. And my thing with Acho that I've said many times on this show, he is a perfect number three outside linebacker. He's a decent pass rusher. He's pretty good against the run. He's pretty good in coverage. Doesn't really do anything poorly, but not great in any one area. That's a great guy that you want coming off the bench, and Khalil Mack allows them to do that. But more importantly, Khalil Mack is going to take the attention of opposing offenses. Offensive coordinators are going to have to leave in tight ends to help their offensive tackles, and all that attention goes to Khalil Mack. And I don't think there's anyone this benefits more than Leonard Floyd on the other side. This guy is going to get a lot of one-on-one opportunities, and assuming the club isn't too limiting and it's not on his hand for too long, this could really be the key to his breakout season. That when he gets these matchups, presumably against the poorer side of the offensive line, he can win a lot of those one-on-one matchups and potentially creep closer to double-digit sacks this year. Before this trade really came down, he was going to be the guy that got the attention. I mean, you have Akeem Hicks on the interior, and he was, before Mack, the Bears' best pass rusher, but he was facing a lot of double teams last year anyway. I mean, I don't think anything was going to be particularly different for Hicks this season, but Floyd was the one that might get a little bit more attention, and now he's going to be freed up, and now Vic Fangio can just get that much more creative. You know, when you have three, you know, ideal pass rushers with a lot of explosiveness and upside, you can stunt, you can loop around a little bit more and create more matchups that you know they're going to follow where Mac goes. So if you send Mac somewhere and send Floyd where he was supposed to be, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can get creative, especially if you bring on Roquan Smith, who we've talked about as a phenomenal blitzer from that inside linebacker position. I mean, Vic Fangio has to just be giddy with, you know, the excitement and the potential of adding Khalil Mack, because Mack is really, you know, the Aldon Smith here to the 49ers defense. You know, I think Roquan Smith is kind of that Patrick Willis type, and Akeem Hicks can be that Justin Smith, and all of a sudden, you've got the building blocks of a dominant front seven, especially, you know, you throw Eddie Goldman in there at nose tackle, Danny Trevathan and Nick Kwiatkowski at inside linebacker. You really do have a lot of talent here in this front seven and can really carry the Bears far. This is by far the biggest weakness on the team being addressed. And now, I mean, it's hard to poke a lot of holes in this defense. Certainly, you know, there's room for improvement at positions, but there's not one major weakness anymore on that side of the ball. And it's just going to be phenomenal to watch, not only this year, but in years moving forward. Because, you know, going all in on Khalil Mack here, it is going to limit the Bears' opportunity to add impact young players elsewhere on their roster, because they don't have a first-round pick next year or a second-round pick next year. It's really going to be like the initial years after the Jay Cutler trade, where draft season is a little bit more boring, and, you know, hopefully they do better than Joaquin Iglesias with their first pick next year in the third round. But, you know, I digress. It is going to be difficult to continue to add younger, you know, foundational players to this roster, that the Bears are going to be pretty much all in with the guys that they have right now. Like, this move absolutely locks in your wide receiver core of Robinson, Gabriel, and Taylor. Needs to be phenomenal for the next 3 or 4 years, you know, until they can kind of get first-round picks back. It locks in your offensive line. You know, you need Leno, you know, on the extension. He's good long-term. You need Daniels to be great. You need Whitehair to be great. You need Kyle Long to stay healthy and around. You know, you can still upgrade in free agency on this offensive line and other positions, but it is locking you in from really getting that true, you know, you can't draft an offensive tackle in the first round next year to really solidify that right tackle spot. You know, you can get somebody on day three and maybe day two in a couple years, but, you know, that's the bigger point here. You're limited from adding a true young impact player at any position. And I think Ryan Pace can feel pretty comfortable after last year's free agency being locked in a little bit for the next 2 years. When you invest big contracts in Leno, Robinson, Gabriel, Burton, and then, you know, defensively, Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara, and you know, we still have a couple years of Danny Trevathan. You know, once they get Adrian Amos and Eddie Goldman locked into long-term contracts, you don't really have anybody that you're in position to lose in terms of a starter, or a position that you're going to need to rebuild with a high draft pick. You know, assuming, you know, maybe a defensive end opposite Akeem Hicks, you wouldn't mind using a high draft pick on in the near future. You know, maybe before Mac, another outside linebacker, and then offensive line was really the only other position. So you're not seeing too many positions across the roster that the Bears really don't have some young talent that they're developing and looking to step into the starting lineup. They have talent here under contract long-term pretty well across the roster. There's a few guys here and there, you know, Bobby Massey, Jonathan Bullard, and then Goldman and Amos, that you're looking those last two to get contract extensions. But more or less, the Bears don't have any significant major need positions that they would need to invest a first-round pick in next year, or a second-round pick in next year, or a first-round pick after that. And I think that really set the Bears up well here to go out and make this blockbuster trade for Khalil Mack. Coming up next, we'll be joined by your boy Q from Locked On Raiders to get the Oakland perspective, to get the Khalil Mack scouting report, and to kind of get a bigger picture look and an outside look at this Bears trade. Keep it locked here on Locked On Khalil Mack. So we wouldn't be Locked On Khalil Mack unless we got some real Oakland Raiders perspective here. So joining us now on Locked On Bears is the man known as Your Boy Q. He hosts Locked On Raiders here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and he hosts a radio show on ESPN Central Texas as well. Q, how are you handling this big news of the day for the Oakland Raiders?
Well, I'll tell you right now, man, I did not wake up in a good mood. I woke up and saw the news, and I feel like someone just jumped into my house and basically burglarized me in the middle of the night, and I didn't even wake up, and then I woke up and everything was gone from the house. So today was not a good day in my house, and yeah, the family's not too happy because I've been in a very bad mood all day.
Well, did you have some expectation that this was going to happen? I mean, obviously there was a lot of rumors and speculation, and no one really knew exactly how likely it was going to be, but it was at least something that Raiders fans could prepare for. I mean, was it something that just pretty well came out of nowhere, or were guys expecting something to happen like this at some point?
You know, it was really kind of it was kind of split down the middle. You know what I mean? It was like there were some people that were just real super negative about it. Like, oh my gosh, it's going to happen. He's going to get traded. He's not going to be a Raider. I can see it. And then there was other folks that were more rational. And I was in the rational sense. And I was in that group where it was like, look, he's under contract for 13-something million this year. They could use the franchise tag the next year. They could use the franchise tag the next year if they want to drag it out. But it doesn't technically have to get done. So, one, the Raiders don't have to be in any hurry to do it. And, you know, a perfect example was Aaron Donald. He held out all last offseason and didn't report until right before the beginning of the season, didn't play in week one, and then went and won, you know, Defensive Player of the Year. And then the next offseason, he gets his deal done eventually. The Raiders could have done that same thing. So I was thinking, look, I know there's a lot of reports, and of course the Raiders are listening because you're supposed to listen. That's just good business. But never in my mind did I really, really, really believe, and maybe I was just trying to kid myself, I don't know, but never in my mind did I believe they would let their best player go. And I did say that their best player go to the Chicago Bears for two first-round draft picks and then whatever else it ends up being. But you don't know what those guys are going to be. You just let your best player go. Never did I think that was going to happen.
Yeah, and realistically, the Bears just acquired their best player, and you don't see teams acquire their best player on September 1st. But let's get into Mac's career a little bit here. Take me back to when he was drafted in 2014. You know, year one, a little bit underwhelming with four sacks as the fifth overall pick, but then comes back in year two and has 15 sacks and goes on to be the defensive player of the year. How did you kind of see him grow early on in his Raiders career?
You could just see him growing as a player. You could see him kind of learning the different techniques. You know, he just continued to get better and better. When he was drafted, he was raw. He was a raw young man out of Buffalo. I mean, you know what I mean? And it's funny because where I'm at right now, I'm in Big 12 country. There was a time where Buffalo actually came into Waco, Texas and played Baylor. And Baylor had their way with Khalil Mack. And that was coming off of the game that he had had against Ohio State that was just amazing, where he really put his name on the map. And I saw, oh, this guy's good, but you know, Baylor just had their way with him. And so it was kind of funny. And then the Raiders go in and draft him, and you could just see the raw talent. It was almost like he was like clay, and he just started to form into something. And I don't know exactly who he learned from and how he learned. I know that there were some veterans on the team that kind of helped him here and there, but this dude is just a worker. I mean, he's going to be a perfect Chicago Bear. I'm not going to lie. If it wasn't a team that I root for, I'd actually be happy for him because I think that he's everything that Chicago stands for. You know what I mean? Like blue collar, put your nose down, get to work, make it happen. I mean, you think of all the great defensive players that the Bears have had, he's going to go right in line with them. I mean, he is going to be an absolute alpha dog. And there's never been a time that alpha dogs just get traded. Like I said, in the middle of the night, just doesn't make any sense. But this guy, he is a guy who wants to be the best. You know what I mean? And that's just who he is. Never missed a game in his whole career with the Raiders. I mean, think about that. Think about the durability. You know, a guy who gets held on every single play, and Bears fans will see it. He'll get double teamed, triple teamed, and he'll be held around the neck. I mean, they'll be, oh man, you'll get tired of seeing how many non-flags are thrown in his direction. But I'm telling you, this guy is absolutely that dude. So if it wasn't the Raiders losing a guy like that, I'd actually be happy for the Bears because he's going to be perfect in Chicago.
Everyone knows Khalil Mack is a star pass rusher, a consistent double-digit sack guy, and that's really his bread and butter. But how well does he hold up against the run? You know, how well-rounded is he? And I think when a player has a big reputation like this, it can be easy to just assume he's good at everything. I know he doesn't really drop back in coverage much, which we'll get to in a little bit, but just in terms of run defense, how well does he, you know, set the edge and shed blocks and make an impact in that area?
No, you're going to be very happy with what he does against the run. And matter of fact, I mean, when he wasn't getting sacks, he was dominating against the run. And that was an area of weakness when he joined the Raiders. Oh, well, he's got to do better against the run. He actually, his rookie year, when he only had four sacks, he actually was a monster against the run. I mean, he was very, very good. But then he had to figure out how to put it all together, how to stop the run and get after the quarterback. This dude, I'm telling you right now, is a worker. This guy is getting after it, and one of his best traits is stopping the run. And, I mean, to become all-pro at a linebacker and a DN position the same year, I mean, what you know what I'm saying? Like, that's unheard of. And this guy really, really does it. Of course, the sacks always are the ones that are going to get, you know, the highlights. That's what everyone's going to say. Oh, man, that's awesome. Just unbelievable. But he's going to get after the run. He's going to get back there and disrupt a lot. He's going to cause a lot of chaos. Let's put it like that. If you want to see chaos, welcome in Khalil Mack, because he's going to do exactly that. Stopping the run will be great. Getting after the quarterback will be great. The only thing he doesn't do is what you mentioned earlier, is drop into coverage. And look, you got an alpha dog in Roquan Smith. I think you'll be just fine.
Yeah, that's where I want to wrap up, actually. Is coverage really his only weakness at this point? Even it's not something he's asked to do a ton. Or is there any other area of his game that you feel like he can still improve on here?
I think that would be the only thing that he doesn't really do is just drop back in coverage. You know, I mean, and there was times when Ken Norton Jr. tried to have him drop back in coverage, and that's just not, that's not how he's going to butter his bread. He's just not, you know, that's fine. He can do it every once in a while, but you want him moving forward at all times. You want him stopping the run and getting after the quarterback. Every once in a while, drop back, fine, but that's not something that you want to consistently have him do. He doesn't need to do that. And again, he has a really good bull rush, and he has a couple spin moves, a couple swim moves that he uses, but he keeps adding different tools, you know, to his belt. At first, he only had like one real strong move, and that was like the bull rush. Then all of a sudden, he got the swim move. Then he got the spin move. I mean, it's like slowly but surely he adds something else to his repertoire, and that's what's impressive about the guy, because he's not satisfied, and that's something that you don't see a lot of times. You see guys that say, oh, hey, I'm a hell of a player. Okay, cool. I don't need to really work to get better. He continues to work to get better. So, again, I think Chicago Bear fans are going to be thrilled.
That's great stuff, Q. Let us know where we can find you on Twitter, where we can find your Raider stuff, if anyone wants to go out and get more Khalil Mack analysis from you.
You can get me on Twitter at yourboyq254, and I am a co-host of a radio show in Central Texas, ESPN Central Texas, called Unnecessary Roughness, 12 to 3 Central Time. And besides that, you can find me on some football field, either high school, college, or NFL football field, doing something. But yeah, the easiest way to get a hold of me is on Twitter at yourboyq254.
I appreciate you taking some time to talk Khalil Mack with us during this difficult time, I know, in your Raiders season.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It's going to be all right at some point.
Well, enjoy those draft picks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Thrilled about those.
Well, thanks again to your boy Q from Locked On Raiders for joining us there. I hope everyone is excited about Khalil Mack. We'll have more Mack analysis as we get the details of the trade this weekend, and then we'll also be talking 53-man roster at some point here as these roster moves are coming in. Hope you'll subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, because we are your daily podcast destination for Chicago Bears news and analysis. We're all over this Mack trade. We'll be all over the 53-man roster, and we'll be all over week one against the Green Bay Packers. We'll have some great guests in store this week to preview this Bears season and this week one game and get the latest and greatest on what's happening with not only Mack coming in, but Floyd and his club and maybe Roquan Smith's role and just how this offense is going to come together. It is going to be a fun season. I hope you'll keep it locked on Locked On Bears to bring you more of what you crave all throughout it. It's great Bears news and analysis, and a great reason to bear down.